Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner podcast. Today is Thursday, October 6th, and my name is Kevin England. This is going to be a sidebar edition. If you're not familiar with that concept here at the BK Corner, that is where I just do a quick topic and get in and get out. I try to make some of these sidebars to get a little more timely information, and just completed a trip from New York City. I'm out there doing some training this week and reflecting on some beekeeping. Just listened to a podcast from Phil Chandler. He interviewed someone on the topic of natural beekeeping, and recently had the opportunity to sit in on a lecture given by Larry Connor at the New Jersey Beekeepers Association fall meeting, and both of them hit a common theme. And I guess I'm just reflecting on the state of beekeeping at this point in this episode. Really, what I want to talk about is, where do we go from here? To treat, not to treat, natural beekeeping, let the bees deal with the mites. I'm starting to draw a summary of what a position we are in when it comes to beekeeping. Now, I think the answer lies with the beekeeping guys at the commercial level, and I'll explain that logic in just about a second here. As I sit in traffic here and try and make sure I don't crunch into anybody. That wasn't me they were beeping at, if you heard that. They were beeping at the car behind me. Anyway, back to my train of thought. You know, I'm a hobby beekeeper. I have 3 hives. I have the capability of going up to 5 hives. I might do that, but for the most part, it's a part-time endeavor for me. I'm not a commercial guy, and I don't plan on doing anything other than trying to maintain my hives and keep them alive. Now, I do agree that integrated pest management and or the use of no chemicals, if possible, is the right way to go, but not at the context of actually allowing my bees to die, because that's counterproductive. I think as a commercial beekeeper, you have to go and do what you got to do in order to make product, right? So people are in business to make money, and that's a difficulty for a commercial beekeeper because of one context. They have to make money. If they don't make money, they don't have bees, they don't stay in business. And bees are the key to that. No matter what they get put into from a position standpoint of how they have to truck their bees around, how they have to put them on what crop to make a living, there's so many compromises that everyone has, no matter what business you're in. And I'm sure it's the same for the commercial beekeeper guys. Now, in my travels, it's been said that the commercial people have their challenges because they're put in positions where the bees are stressed, they're on single product, they're not nutritionally well kept, they are treated basically factory type product. And I'll draw an analogy to the chicken farming business, where they're all stuck in a building and don't get to move and not free range, but they create all the chicken you want at a very cheap price, and that's what we want in the supermarket. They lay the eggs. You know, they're not fed traditional food, all that stuff. Industry, industry, industry. And the beekeeping people, it appears, are not immune to that position. But the problem is, systemically, the bees are not, they're not holding up to the strain. And I don't know if, you know, there's been speculation and everybody knows it. Nosema, the Varroa mite, possibly fungicides, and neonicotinoids, and pesticides, and you name it, all these things come together to have the problem with the bee. But, you know, quite frankly, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have to get by, and I want to focus this discussion on, is Varroa and the Varroa mite problem. Now, something that Jennifer Berry said back in January when we saw her has stuck with me, and that is the fact that Apis mellifera, the bee that we use, the common European honeybee, just wasn't meant for it. Wasn't meant for this type of mite, unlike Apis serrana, which lives in I don't want to say harmony, but can live with that bee. And you look at the possibility of, at some point, here's the key, Apis mellifera being able to survive in cohabitation with the varroa mite. How do we fast forward that? And we struggle for this. And the common theme that I keep hearing over and over again is, if we continue to use chemicals, if we continue to aid the bee in the ability to try and get rid of the mite, the probability is it will take longer for it to get to a conclusion where it can live, cohabitate with the mite. But it's a catch-22 situation. If you don't do anything, if you try to go the survivor stock, if you try to go the hygienic stock, don't know if that's the answer either, because survivor stock, there's no guarantee that a hive that might live 1 year, 2 years, 5 years is not going to die in the sixth year. And that's what I just heard on the Phil Chandler podcast with the gentleman that he spoke to from England. Now, a commercial guy, this is why they can solve the problem, I believe. They can tolerate it. Now, again, they're in the business to make money, but they also have enough colonies that they can make more bees. I'm not saying it's a great formula, but the problem with us, let's say me, the hobby beekeeper, has three hives right now, and I decide I'm not going to treat no more. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to try and go the survivor stock route. I'm kidding myself. At some point, all three of my hives are going to die. I'm going to be out my investment. And if I keep buying bees, it's going to end up with the same result. If I had enough hives, colonies, that I could potentially reproduce, and as it was stated in the Larry Connor lecture that I'll talk about in a future episode, if everybody around me was doing the same thing, there is a possibility over a period of time, how long and whether it's tolerable or not, and whether it really will work this way is to be determined, but it is possible that we could allow nature to run its course and give the bee the ability to evolve to live with this varroa mite problem, with the Nosema problem, with the pesticide problem, and anything else that ails us. Now, I don't know that pesticides are going to be something that the bees could just finally figure out a way to do it. If they really are dangerous inside the hive, based on the Marianne Fraser talk, I think they're going to need a little help here from the EPA. They're going to have to start changing the way they test to take care of the pesticide problem. It's not something that the bees can overcome for the sake of better agricultural, but that's another topic for another day. Here's another facet on this that's very fascinating to me. Hygienic stock. That was something that was talked about in the Larry Connor conversation. Dr. Connor talked about he was for a hygienic stock, and we should be trying to breed the queens for better management of the hive, so to speak. But I heard it said in Phil Chandler's podcast, I heard Jennifer Berry raise this concern, and I think there's just this undertone in the beekeeping community of, boy, I'll tell you, how much can we really control of all this? If we start selecting for hygienic, and if you're not familiar with that term, I'll take a second sidebar here to explain what that means. Hygienic stock means that the bees will take care of the mites themselves. They'll actually go in the cell and take out any larva that is incapacitated from it, or they'll actually remove the mites from the cell. And certain bees do this more aggressively than others. And they'll also clean up any problems inside the hive if there's possibly Nosema in the cell or something like that. Anything wrong with the larvae, they can sense it and they'll uncap and take that bee out, or they'll take care of the problem inside the house. Basically, they do their own housekeeping. They keep their house in order like any other problem that they have in there. So if a mouse crawled in and died and they couldn't do something with it, they'd seal it so it wouldn't rot in there. They have a way, and nature has a way. Now go back to the hygienic stock. If you're picking them just because they rip out varroa mite, but these bees don't do something else, what other malady could come in and take care of them? Now, you could what if this to death, but quite frankly, I have to wonder if the natural beekeeping or the premise of survivor stock is a better way to say it, is the better way to go over the long term, but requires a shift of thinking and the beekeeping community, both whether it's commercial or hobby, but mostly commercial, has to adopt this. Now, I wonder about certain stories, and this is where I'll probably go next, is I'm going to take a look and see if there are some beekeepers that are out there living in a region where they do nothing, they don't treat, and I think it was even said from Dr. Connor, they saw a decline in bee population for a period of time, but then the bees were able to recover, and now the bees are stronger than they were. Now, those individual success stories, is there something else at play? Or is that the pattern we can expect if we invest in this capability of survivor stock? It's all an interesting, fascinating thought process, but you have to wonder whether or not people are willing to allow that to run its course. I don't know. Time will tell. One way or another, we're going to figure out how to do this. It may be a prolonged, long agony type period where we just suffer through bee losses and expect that that's going to be the case. Or we'll all come to some grassroots movement, and in 3 to 5 years, we'll all decide that survivor stock's the right way to go. Now, I know right now is a changing time for a lot of us here in the United States, and it probably has worked this way a long time in other places who've been using formic acid, but Mitaway Quick Strips is something that everybody's pretty excited about here. You could treat the bees over a shorter period of time. You can leave the honey on the box because it's not a problem, and it zaps the mites inside the cell. You be the judge. Is this good, bad, or indifferent? I'm hesitant to say that this is a great thing. Now, yes, it works right now. And yes, it solves a problem. But are we prolonging the ability to get to the long-term fix? Or is this going to be the norm? And this Mitaway Quick Strip thing will knock the mites down, and it's just become ingrained in our process. These are all really interesting thoughts, of which I don't have any answer, but riding back on the train from New York City over to Princeton, it's a fascinating thought process to work my way through. So I thought I'd share it with you. Those are my thoughts for today. And that's the end of this sidebar. Appreciate you listening. If you have any comments, thoughts, and I know I'm sounding a bit scattered here today driving, but I am driving home, so I have to first and foremost pay attention to the road. So I'm a little jumbled in my thought, a little jumbled in my talk, but I hope you understood what I was after, and appreciate you stopping by to listen. I do have a pretty busy period going on right now, as usual with work, but I have another sidebar to plug in, and we'll probably get that in a few days. And then I have topics lined up for another episode, so hope to be back with you shortly. But for now, hopefully this will carry you over a little bit. Remember, it is the beginning of October. You should have treated for your mites if you're in the Northeast here in August and September. If you haven't, there's still time to treat and feed. Make sure that you get your boxes set up to overwinter with the number of bees, the number of pollen frames, the number of honey needed in there. And incidentally, recent issue of Bee Culture arrived at my house day before yesterday, and my last episode talked about how to set your box up for fall, and there was a great summation of that, which was a repeat of the article that I linked to in the last episode. And it was Fremantle bee traps, and the person who invented them, I think his name is Freeman, that would make sense. That is where the origin of the documents that we were using, if you open that up, had a great idea about how to set your boxes up for the fall time. Now, Dr. Connor had an interesting take on this. Like natural beekeeping, he wondered if the bees should be left to their own devices. And we had an interesting discussion amongst some beekeepers at the event after his talk about whether or not we were going to go through our standard practice of rearranging for fall, or whether we would let some of our hives go the natural route just to see what happened. And we were all sitting on the fence. Nobody really drew any conclusions. But if you are interested in that article about how to rearrange your hive, it was an updated, refreshed, more concise, better written guide in the most recent, I believe it's the September issue of Bee Culture magazine. All right, that's it. Signing off for now. You can check things out at our website, www.bkcorner.org, or you could send me an email with your comments, your thoughts, at kevin@bkcorner.org. Oh, you know what? Wanted to end, but thought of one more thing. Had a conversation at the meeting with New Jersey state apiarist Tim Schuler, and Tim and I have, conversations every once in a while about how things are going. One of the things I liked, and I sent you there, was the beekeeping blog for the New Jersey Beekeepers Association. Tim had been posting some videos up there regularly through the summer. That blog has gone dormant right now. I know that they're talking about bringing it back, but Tim has agreed to share, for the time being, his videos that he gets while he's out gallivanting around the state doing his job as the state apiarist. And I've posted several of his, including a very cool video of a praying mantis trying to catch a bee on top of a hive that he caught, a once-in-a-lifetime shot. So you could check that out, and a bunch of other videos that we have for the New Jersey Beekeepers Association, specifically the branch that I belong to, which is the Northwest branch, at youtube.com/NWNJBA. It's youtube.com/NWNJBA. Okay, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Beekeeper's Corner podcast.